This week, Detroit Tigers manager Jim Leland announced his retirement. He was an old-school manager, relying more on his guts than a spreadsheet. His decisions irritated some fans, but his results didn't. I'm Michigan Radio sports commentator John U. Bacon to explain why. When you're 68 years old, working in a young man's game, announcing your retirement does not come as a great shock. But Detroit Tigers manager Jim Leland has got a few underappreciated qualities that are worth remembering. Leland is a baseball man to the core. Raised in Perrysburg, Ohio, the son of a glass worker, he grew up wanting to do one thing, play baseball. He was good, very good. So the Tigers signed him up to play catcher in their minor league system. But just to get to the majors, you need to be great. And after 7 years battling to get to the big leagues, Leland realized he was not great, not as a player, at least. So he decided to become a manager and worked his way up from Detroit's lowest minor league team to its highest. That climb took him from Bristol, Virginia, to Clinton, Iowa, to Montgomery, Alabama, then Lakeland, Florida, and finally Evansville, Indiana, Detroit's top farm club. He polished promising young prospects like Lance Parrish, Kirk Gibson, Lou Whitaker, and Alan Trammell into bona fide major leaguers. They all made it to Detroit, but they left their coach behind. When the Tigers should have hired the man who built that team, they gave the job instead to Sparky Anderson. Okay, so Anderson had already won two World Series with the vaunted Cincinnati Reds, but even as a kid, I thought they got the wrong guy. Leland did not whine about it. He kept working away until he got to be a big league manager himself 6 years later for the Pittsburgh Pirates. They won three straight division titles before the owners conducted a fire sale, selling off all the all-stars Leland had helped develop. Leland could never understand it when somebody did not care as much about the game as he did. In 1997, he took over the Florida Marlins, owned by Blockbuster video tycoon Wayne Huizenga, and promptly led them to their first World Series title. But the very next year, Huizenga held his own fire sale, dismantling a title team. Leland took a rare shot, telling the press he thought his job was to win championships, but that's apparently not what his boss wanted. In 2006, 27 years after the Tigers passed him up for their top post, they finally named Jim Leland Detroit's manager. He took the long-dormant franchise to its first American League pennant in 22 years. Under Leland, the Tigers won four division titles and two pennants. Not bad. But Leland has still got plenty of critics. Since the computerized approach to managing, made famous in the book and movie Moneyball, took over the game a decade ago, fans expect managers to make decisions by the book, not by their guts. So when Leland makes all-star hitters bunt with men in scoring position or pulls great starting pitchers for weak relievers, the fans howl, and not without reason. But I can't help but notice Leland's teams always won, everywhere, in the minors and in the majors, in the National League and in the American League, at every level, in eight different states and five different decades. Perhaps coaching is about more than just computing. A major league team spends almost every day together for 8 months a year. They see each other more often than they see their wives and their kids. Players aren't robots either. To get almost all his players to play their best baseball when they're playing for him, Leland did something that computers cannot, something we don't see during games. He must be a hell of a guy and a great leader, too. He cares about the game, sometimes more than the millionaires that he coaches, and he cares about them, too. My dad, who spent 3 years in the Army, told me he likes Leland because he stands by his troops and never chews them out in public. Yeah, that's old school, but that was Leland, and it worked.